Well, I want to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you are joining with us today. And I'd like to invite you, if you have a Bible with you there at home, to go ahead and open it up to the book of Romans. And today we're going to be in chapter 10. Not too long ago, I was reading the news online and I came across an article about the church in America. And while the article itself wasn't overly interesting, what I was kind of drawn to was the comments at the bottom. Now, if you do any sort of blogging or if you read your news online, then you're probably familiar with the comment section that follows different articles. You know, what really stuck out to me as I was reading some of the comments that people left was that they didn't so much interact with the article, but instead they found it necessary to, in a sense, attack people of faith. Individuals wrote comments like, "Stop believing in fairy tales," "Bigfoot, aliens, and deities in the sky don't exist," and "Faith is opposed to facts and reason." You know, when I read that, it was kind of a moment of, hang on, time out. Faith is opposed to facts and reason? Is that true? So after reading that, it kind of set me up to explore, like, do others hold this same idea, the same belief? And sure enough, as I began to do some searching online, what I found is there seems to be this idea that faith somehow boils down to wishful thinking. Or some might even call it ignorant thinking that rejects logic, reason, and facts. Go to dictionary.com, type in the word faith, and you'll see that one of the definitions, that which is commonly associated with religious belief, states, quote, "belief that is not based on proof." Hang on a second. If belief is not based on proof, what is it based on? What is faith based on? Today, we're going to try to discover that very answer. Now, for those who are joining for the first time, over the past several weeks, we have been in a series in which we've entitled Essential: Getting Back to the Basics. And this series is really looking at five principles that emerged out of a time in the church's history that we refer to as the Reformation. Now, if you're not familiar with the Reformation, it was a movement that took place about 500 years ago to reform the church. You see, what had happened was man-made rules and traditions and even corrupt leadership had crept into the church and had steered the church off course, to the point that what was being taught at that time as the Christian faith didn't align with what the Bible taught as the Christian faith. So a movement took place, led by guys like Martin Luther and later John Calvin, to bring the church back into alignment with what the scriptures teach. And the reformers out of this movement, they put forth five principles to help safeguard the church moving forward. And today we're in part four of our series. So we're going to look at the fourth principle, which is faith alone. Now, as we commented earlier, there seems to be this idea that faith is somehow contrary to or even opposed to things like reason and facts and understanding. And it doesn't just seem to be those who want to adhere to the Christian faith who feel this way, because really, sometimes we even see this within the church. I remember some years ago, my wife and I, we were invited to go visit this Christian attraction. And while we were there, we really felt like there was this attitude that pitted faith against reason, and at one time even mocked the pursuit of knowledge. It was like there was this kind of mantra of don't think, just believe. In his book, God and Skepticism, author Terence Pennellum writes, "The insistence that faith needs no justification from reason, but is the judge of reason and its pretensions, is usually called fideism." Now, if you're not familiar with this term, fideism, it's not an enduring term. Matter of fact, there's this joke that fideism is the F word of philosophy. Former Calvin College professor Kenneth Conandyke writes in Faith and Philosophy, the journal of the Society of Christian Philosophers, he says that fideism is described as the position that reason cannot support faith and that faith has no need of rational support. Fideism is this stance of, I believe what I believe because I believe it. It's not grounded in anything. There's nothing that's underlying that reason. It's, in the words of Mr. Spock, illogical. You know, that's not Christian faith. That attitude actually goes against what Scripture teaches. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. That's just what I believe. That's not a good answer. In matter of fact, Scripture tells us this, that we should be able to explain why we are people of faith. Today, I would suggest to you that Christian faith is not believing in something that defies knowledge or goes against reason or is illogical. Biblical faith is the response to revelation. It is the trust that is birthed from knowledge. Now, I know what some might say. You can't see or touch God. You can't test him in a lab. Therefore, there's no way we can have knowledge. But, you know, I don't think that that's actually correct. I've never been to China. Yet it would be foolish of me to conclude that China doesn't exist because I lack firsthand experience. I trust that China exists because of the evidence that has been presented. You know, and the same is true for the Christian faith. My trust in Jesus isn't random, and it isn't simply because someone else told me what I should believe. My faith is a response to the knowledge that I have received through revelation. Stanford University's Encyclopedia of Philosophy calls faith as a response to revelation the, quote, special knowledge model. And it defines it as faith as knowledge of specific truths revealed by God. Former Notre Dame professor Alvin Plantinga quotes the reformer John Calvin in Faith and Rationality, Reason and Belief in God, who said that faith is, quote, a firm and certain knowledge of God's benevolence towards us, founded upon the truth of the freely given promise in Christ, both revealed to our minds and sealed upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Faith isn't blind, nor is it fideistic. Faith is trust in response to revelation. Which brings us to the logical question of where is this knowledge revealed? Now, due to time, we can't speak of all the ways in which God reveals truth. So we'll look at the kind of one dominant way in which God reveals truth. And that is his word. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now I know what some are going to say. Here we go again, the Bible is truth because the Bible says it's truth routine. I understand that. And that's not exactly what I'm saying. This is the reality. A person can read the Bible and get nothing from it. To them, it's just a bunch of words on a page, no different than any other book that they may read. Even for Christians, there are times when we read and just nothing really seems to click. Maybe you've even had one of those moments where you get done reading and if someone were to ask you 2 minutes later, hey, what did you read? You would go, I couldn't even tell you. But then there are the times when things are different. There are the times that even if you've read the same passage over and over, suddenly now this time that passage seems to jump out at you. It's almost like someone hit a light switch and suddenly it's illuminated. It's speaking to you. The 20th century theologian Karl Barth referred to this as God actualizing the scriptures. He said that in this event that God brings himself to mankind through the word. What that is revelation. Revelation is when the scriptures cease to just be words on a piece of paper, but they become God speaking to us, revealing himself to us. And through this revelation, we discover God's love, God's will, God's plan of redemption, and we experience his forgiveness. Revelation gives birth to faith. And faith is trusting in the revelation or the knowledge that we have received. And we receive this revelation when God chooses to speak. This is why one person can read scripture and get nothing out of it, and another person can read it, and their lives can be transformed. One person encounters words, another encounters the Spirit of God. Christian faith is trusting what God has revealed, which means a few things for us. First, faith is not blind or foolish. I remember some years ago when I was working at a church, I was speaking with a young lady who had unfortunately lost her job and was going through a very tough financial time. And as she was sharing this, she also told me about how her and her friends had been driving all over town and going to these different places. And she stated that she had faith that God was going to make sure her car never ran out of gas. Now, it definitely takes faith to drive around with your car tank on E and no money to be able to put more gas in it. But that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is not blind or foolish. And it means this, that we don't have to try to do crazy faith things in order to somehow show our devotion to God. Sometimes we might even get ourselves into bad situations thinking that it's a sign of faith when in reality it's not based on revelation. Biblical faith is based on revelation. It's not blind and it's not foolish. Secondly, faith can grow. If faith comes through hearing God's word, then the more time we dedicate to spending with God in his word, the more encounters we'll have with hearing God's revelation to us. And that revelation reveals to us knowledge, which then increases our faith. When we have those encounters, we begin to trust God at a deeper level, and the more, and to trust Him with more areas of our life, because He reveals to us that we can trust Him. That's why we call the Christian life a journey. It isn't you get saved and now everything is done and over with and you're perfect. It's a process of God revealing Himself, of us responding to His revelation with trust and with faith, and trusting Him to mold us into the people that He created us to be. You know, when we read Scripture, what we need to do is we need to be praying beforehand and ask Him that God will speak to us through His Word, that He'll give us a revelation that will help our faith grow. Thirdly, faith frees us to be used by God. Now, let me explain that one just a bit. There's been many times that I have heard people say things such as, I don't share my faith, or I'm scared to share my faith because I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. You know, what they're hinting at there is that they're concerned that another person's ability to respond to the gospel is contingent on them. But here's the encouraging news. It's not about you and it's not about me, right? If faith is the response to revelation, then that means it's on God to call people. It's on God to open people's hearts, to give us the words to share, to lead people to a place of repentance and transformation. Now, God may use us in that process. He may speak through us, but He also promises us that He'll give us the words to be able to share. You see, it's not contingent on you and on me. It's about God revealing Himself to that person. And when we understand that, it frees us that we don't have to live in fear, but we can gladly share God's love with others. The Reformers use this statement, faith alone, as a reminder that faith is central to Christianity. Yet, contrary to how sometimes this is referenced, being a person of faith doesn't mean we just blindly or foolishly believe anything. Faith is our response of trust to God's revelation. And in my opinion, the most logical thing that we can do, the thing that involves the most reason, is to trust the revelation of the sovereign creator of the world. So my prayer for you this morning, for everyone who's watching, is that you will grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, and that your faith will grow and be transformed as God continues to reveal Himself to you through His Word. Let me pray for you this morning. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, we give You thanks for Your love and Your mercy. Father, I thank You that You have chosen to reveal Yourself to us. First and foremost, You've given us Your Word so we can read and we can know who You are and what Your will is, and God, what it means to follow You. Lord, we thank You that You've given us the revelation of Your Son, Jesus, who came and Jesus said that He perfectly revealed the Father to us. So Lord, I pray that as we receive Your revelation, God, that You would grow our faith. Lord, that we would respond to Your revelation with trust. And God, that we won't be people who foolishly or blindly believe things that are not revealed to us from Your Word, but God, that we would commit ourselves to seeking after you through prayer and through scripture reading. And God, again, that you would continue to reveal your will for our lives and to help us to trust you and follow you each and every day. Father, I pray for every person who's watching that if there's any people who do not know the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that you would reveal it to them. And Lord, that they would respond and trust with faith and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, again, continue to have your way in our lives. Use us to make your name known. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.